We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
KC Laboratory, sponsored by Emprise Bank.
It's the KC Laboratory presented by Emprise Bank. Emprise debit cards are contactless, much like practice this week for the Chiefs. Secure and faster than ever. So fast they're giving the cheetah a run for his money. Emprise Bank, member FDIC. And I did mention practice there. Boys, practice is starting. I am so excited. We're so excited. Some of us at KCSN will be there this weekend, including my dear pal. Find him on Twitter at Chief in Carolina. Maddie, I am going to give you a hug when I see you. I'm going to risk COVID to hug you because I am excited to see you, my friend.
I am glowing with excitement to see you as well, kid. Like, I could not be any more excited to see you, BJ, Tucker, anybody else that might decide to come to camp on Friday, on Saturday. And the whole time, this is the only bad thing. The whole time, I'm just going to be thinking in the back of my mind, man, I wish my dear pal Craig could make it out here to see us this time. But buddy, how are you doing? I know you're sad to miss it, but you know, you got some important things going on, so I'll forgive you this time.
Yeah, I do have some important things going on. We can just go ahead and say it. I'm expecting my second child any day now, so I don't feel super comfortable being very far away from home right now. So it's kind of a big deal that I be here and I be near this. So I would love to be at camp. I would love to see everybody, but life is kind of more important in this scenario. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to hearing from these guys what they're going to see at camp. But today we're going to talk a little bit about kind of what we expect out of camp and what we'd like to do here.
A little bit? Wait, have you met any of us, Craig? A little bit.
Here's the thing. When we don't have a rundown and we just kind of want to go all over the place, it winds up being like an hour and a half. So This is going to be a long episode. Craig, I do want to say, man, it's good to have the news broken. It's been really fun to, like, me and Craig have been going through a lot of life things at the exact same time. Uh-huh. And so he's been someone to share all the experiences that I've had and vice versa. So it's been really nice. So
yes,
congratulations. I'm super excited for you, my friend. And yes, everything's, I'm excited for you. It's going to be awesome.
Yes, it's going
to
be great.
Congratulations to the both of you. Oh, welcome to the club.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the two
kid club. The polar opposite of the first, so be ready.
Oh no.
I'm the only one that didn't go, well, never mind. I'll never mind.
Yes, nailed it.
Let's talk about the Chiefs. Let's talk about the Chiefs, shall we?
This is why we need a rundown. We have kids around, and this is why we need the rundown. Without a teleprompter, my man is lost in the woods.
I just love how both of you knew exactly where I was going with that.
Yep.
Let's talk about the Chiefs. The team, you know, they've reported practice start on Wednesday. Obviously, you got a little bit of a teaser there with some of the rookies and stuff getting in, you know, to the mix. Patrick Mahomes getting some practices in, just getting, you know, ready for full speed ahead. The full team's going to be practicing on Wednesday. And there's a lot of things that we're all excited to be, you know, paying attention to, looking at. I think one of the things that is very interesting right off the bat, And I think one of the things everybody's going to be really paying attention to, like, you're going to see 84 tweets about it because everybody's going to have the same idea. Who plays right guard right off the bat, Maddie? I think that's a big question.
We think that's the number one question coming right out of Campton.
I think that will be one of the biggest questions when they line up for teams. That will be one of the first things that people are paying attention to.
Yeah, I think that's definitely going to be one of the first eggs for sure. Because right now, we just got the news that Kyle Long was placed on the PUP list, the PUP list. So he's going to count. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong, because this is not my wheelhouse. But he counts towards the 90-man roster for this.
Correct.
But he is not going to be participating during training camp at all right now.
Correct.
So you are going to be looking at LDT, Andrew Wiley, Trey Smith maybe kind of competing for this right guard spot. And so the highest thing on everyone's mind right now is simply just going to be who's going to come in, who's going to take this role, whether it's, you know, this first week, who's going to start out in that role. I think it's going to say a lot if newcomer Trey Smith comes in and takes that spot right away, being new to Kansas City and the new starting right guard. Craig, what say you?
Yes, we're just going to hit this right off the bat here. Yes, Trey Smith came to Kansas City, just like our good pals at McAdoodles need to come to Kansas City. They will protect your liquor selections, just like Trey Smith is going to protect Patrick Mahomes if he gets the chance. We're all excited about Trey Smith. We love the pick in the sixth round, not your typical sixth rounder. I do expect that this guy is going to play a lot. He's going to contribute very early, especially with the Kyle Long injury and him being on the PUP list. This is Trey Smith time. He's going to hit some fools. Now, obviously, not this week, but in the future, he's going to hit some fools so fast your head will spin just all the way around in a 360, like this week's Liquor of the Week, 360 vodka. Get it at McAdoodles and get a McAdoodles to Kansas City, just like Trey Smith. Roger at info@McAdoodles.com. Get a hold of him if you're a franchisee. Let's get one.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Kent. No, get in there, Kent. Tell them all about Trey Smith.
Oh, well, I mean, Trey Smith, he's a very fascinating story. Obviously, you know, there's been so much mystery surrounding him for the last couple of years with all of this. And this is a guy that, to what Craig has spent a lot of time talking about this entire offseason, a guy that could maybe signal a potential shifting away from some of the blocking schemes that the Chiefs have typically employed. So, watching him and his involvement early on, getting in the mix, he's looked great in all the photos that we've seen to this point. He looks ready to roll. He looks ready to go and compete and take this job and take this opportunity and run with it. And sometimes that's just how it works with some of these younger guys. Even some of these day three picks, some of these undrafted free agents, opportunity is critical for a lot of these guys. And Trey Smith is one of those guys that, you know, is going to get an opportunity. And you know what, Maddie? There could be some opportunities at the defensive end position, because I don't believe we know for sure if Frank Clark has reported quite yet, right?
I am not sure. I haven't heard that he has. I know Andy Reid said that he was expecting him to be there. He seemed to have no, you know, questions about Frank Clark showing up. But up until this point, I don't know if he has. I have not seen anything. So I'm going to have to go out on a limb and say I don't think he's there at this point in time. So if he's not there, I mean, that, who knows what that room is going to look like. If you get out there with no Frank Clark, I have no clue how that defensive end room is going to look, starting off with your first team reps, when you start going through team, or just even, you know, like segment drills, when you have offensive line versus defensive line. Is Chris Jones going to be a full-time defensive end? Are they just going to be cycling in the young guys like Mike Dana, Joshua Kane? Like, what is their plan going to be if Frank Clark's not there? Who's getting the reps? I do imagine throughout this camp, we see a lot of Chris Jones at defensive end, and don't read too much into it just because it's at camp. I just think he needs more reps at defensive end than he does defensive tackle. Conversely, Jerron Reed needs as many reps as he can get at defensive tackle right now because he's new to the team. So just because you see Chris Jones exclusively play defensive end, if that happens at training camp, don't fear that he's never going to play on the interior once the regular season starts.
Well, when you look at camp, when you look at, you know, early installs, what are you doing with your early installs? You're probably seeing a fullback. You're probably seeing a lot of that base personnel. those are the situations that you're probably going to see Chris Jones playing defensive end. So, you know, if the Chiefs aren't working in sub packages a lot early on in camp and they're really working with some of their base looks, Chris Jones very well could. That could be a situation that you do see Chris Jones lining up a lot of defensive end too, Greg.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially since the OTA camp was largely a passing camp. They are going to want to work a little bit of the run game. Obviously, they were doing it on bags. I know everybody hates the run, but let me talk about it. I wrote about it this offseason.
So, you normally write about defense, and we know how that goes.
No, see, listen, I just write about the things that nobody cares about. I do think that they're going to get that work in, though, because they did run it on bags. And so they need that level of communication with an offensive line that's all new faces, essentially. So you need this group of guys to be able to communicate well and be able to run through that sort of stuff. And the best way to do that could be getting some of those 21 personnel looks, some of those 12 personnel looks that we talked about a little bit last week when we talked about the tight ends. You're going to see a little more heavy personnel that works for the defense as well. Like they said, Chris Jones is out there, probably going to play a lot of defensive end, but that also gets you a look at some of these linebackers that we're also looking so forward to here. Get Nick Bolton on the field as that Sam role. Get Willie Gay some more reps. We know these guys need the reps next to Hitchens, hearing that voice, calling everything out, knowing what's coming for the guy that's actually calling the defense. Those linebackers definitely need those reps, Maddie.
They do. I wanted to go back to Chris Jones just real quick. For me, one of the biggest things that I want to watch, I want to see the one-on-one drills from Chris Jones, not so much the team stuff. Because I'm with Craig. I do think you will see a lot more just run stuff in a lot of the team drills. I think you're going to see a lot of time in teams, defensive linemen aren't going 100%. Same with offensive linemen. It's a long day.
Other than Frank Clark,
who occasionally makes an offensive tackle like Eric Fisher mad at him or something. But yeah, most of the time, these guys aren't going 100% every play because you can't really hit like the quarterback or anything. So, you know, they try, but they don't always give it 110%. But in those one-on-one drills where it's schemed up that Chris Jones isn't really just going to be bull rushing an offensive tackle every single play, they're working on speed rushes. They're working on some counters or hand tech. Meek, I want to see how he looks in those versus Orlando Brown, versus Mike Rimmers, versus Lucas Niang, all these different levels of competition, because I think that's going to go a long way into seeing if he can really stand out there during the regular season and probably will show me more than it will during the team period watching those one-on-ones. But as far as the linebackers go, hey, listen, you want to get Nick Bolton out there as much as possible, but what I want to see Willie Gay. I want to see Willie Gay flash and pass coverage. That's what I care about. I don't care about what the linebackers are doing in the run game at training camp. It's good stuff. Like, they need to work on it. Don't get me wrong. But what I want to see personally, and this is just a selfish one, I want to see Willie Gay run around the field making plays on the football, because that's what the second level of this defense has been missing for too many years now.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. We need that athletic linebacker, and you need for him to earn the trust of this coaching staff to be out there. We saw it in the Denver game last year. We've saw glimpses of it in other games last year. He is the guy that you want to be that kind of electrifying coverage linebacker that can get out there and move with the tight ends and the running backs at the NFL level. If he can prove himself to do that early, you're going to see him a lot in the nickel, and you might see him in the dime if he can pick up some of that stuff early. You know, obviously we got our fingers crossed on that. So we'll see, but getting these reps that he did not get last year are so ultra important for him this year.
They've invested, you know, early draft picks in this linebacker position the last couple of years. Willie Gay, I think, is the hope to really improve the coverage level of that defense. I think Nick Bolton's the guy that could eventually be the green dot for this defense, and a cheaper option at that with Anthony Hitchens. You know, you want to see both of these guys. You want to see how they, you know, I want to see, you know, like you said, Willie Gay in coverage. I want to see if Nick Bolton can play fast, because that's one of the things when he's getting downhill, his instincts, being able to make plays behind the line of scrimmage, especially in the run game. Some of these situations, some of these, you know, early looks could be decent for him. Maybe not from a contact perspective, from a trigger perspective, if they're really working on some of the run fits, they're really working on some of that base personnel stuff. So that's something I'm really anticipating seeing out of, you know, those two, the linebacker position. And honestly, let's see how Hitchens looks, because
that's the big one.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. Yeah. No, I just want to see, does Anthony Hitchens look different than he has in years past? Like, there's been two times now I've come up where he said he's entering this camp, this, you know, off-season workout program lighter than he has in years past, because he understands some of the, you know, things holding him back from last season, specifically in the Super Bowl. He thinks being a little bit lighter, a little bit quicker as the season goes on, better in coverage, that's where the NFL's going. He sees all these things. He said it. So does he look different out there? Is he still going to be a guy in camp that's kind of zone dropping, he's covering some running backs, doing okay at it? Or is he going to be noticeably quicker, noticeably faster? Will he show up and now start making plays and man-to-man coverage while at camp? I mean, that would be a great sign for the Chiefs. We talk about hopefully Willie Gay, you know, learns enough to take over the dime linebacker role. I agree with that. But also, my backup plan to that is Anthony Hitchens is able to stay on the field in the dime personnel package, because I would rather see him out there calling the defense as long as he can just provide some quality coverage in spots. If he comes in lighter and can do that, I mean, that's two thumbs up from this whole offseason period for me.
Yeah, absolutely. You want him flashing to the flat. You want him blitzing as that guy, because you want Willie Gay to be that more dynamic guy that can run with the entire route. That's the hope. Anthony Hitchens, all he's got to do is be able to flash the flat, drop in those hook zones and widen the hook zones a little more than we've seen from him in previous years, and then continue being the blitzer that he is. He is a fantastic blitzer. So he is good in those roles on the field. You just want to see that expand a little bit. If he's a little lighter, maybe we see it.
This is really the contract year for Anthony Hitchens. I know he's under contract next year, but this is the next year the Chiefs can very easily get out of his contract, and they have two high draft picks in that linebacker room with him. A lighter Anthony Hitchens playing better football makes their decision a lot more difficult. It could be really fascinating to see how that group shakes out. Maddie, I want you to give me something you're excited to watch, something you're looking for, something you're interested in. When we all get out to camp, what are you excited to look at?
Man, there's so many options here. We've run through a lot of the defense, so I'm just going to stick to the defensive side of the ball right now. I don't think you can gain much from watching safeties in training camp. I don't think there's going to be a lot there, so not need to go in there too much. But the cornerback position, like, just how's that shaking out? How are these guys handling some wide receivers that are pretty good on one-on-one drills? One-on-one drills are specifically, you know, kind of slanted towards the offensive side of the football. But if Mike Hughes, is he out there making plays? Is DeAndre Baker out? Like, who's making the big time plays in these one-on-one periods for the Chiefs? Is that carrying over to the team periods? Who is the first slot corner to go out there? I'm interested to see how this slot cornerback room shakes out. Most importantly, I want to know which cornerback, not named L'Jarius Sneed, is going to show up to make big plays. Who's going to go out there and make plays on the football? Because the Chiefs are missing that outside of one guy.
Yeah, that's my biggest question of all of camp right there. Who, we know that Steve Spagnuolo plays a best five. Like, he's going to play the best five guys. And sometimes that's going to be three safeties and Tyrann Mathieu is going to kick down in the slot. I could see that happening. It happened in 2019 when Juan Thornhill was fully healthy. You could definitely see that in the nickel. And that kind of alleviates that. That tells you, you know, you got Ward, you got Sneed on the outside, and you just go from there. But what if Mike Hughes is cracking that best five, getting some of that run in there? What if Devin Key is the guy that's cracking that best five? What if DeAndre Baker's cracking that best five? And now you see L'Jarius Sneed kicking inside. That's going to tell us a lot, even though there's not a ton that you can read from that because it is so slanted to the offense. That rotation can tell you a lot about what Steve Spagnuolo thinks of these guys and where he sees the position going in the future. And, you know, maybe give a hat tip to some of those guys that we've seen kind of rotate in some of these pictures, be that guy going forward from day one of camp.
You know, I wrote this week about just kind of the bargain bin that is the Chiefs cornerback room, and Brett Veach has not had to spend much of anything at that position to cobble together the group that he has. And on paper, there are so many interesting stories at the cornerback position. DeAndre Baker, former first round pick, Chiefs could have, I believe, 3 years of club control over DeAndre Baker if he's able to pan out this year. Then there's Mike Hughes, the guy that they traded in a late round pick swap, another former first round talent. How do these guys get into the mix here, and which one, if either of them or both, who's stepping up of that group? Because on paper is great, but the Chiefs need one of these guys to play up to their draft pedigree. My cues, I know everybody's talking about DeAndre Baker, and I'm rooting for DeAndre Baker because I think getting 3 years of club control of a guy like DeAndre Baker would be really helpful for this football team. But Hughes is the one I'm really interested in the most, and the one I think could make could move the needle the most at this juncture. You know, he's kind of had an injury riddled career. He's only played in 24 games. He's played less than 1,000 snaps of football on the defensive on defense. There's only one cornerback on this entire Chiefs roster that has played more than 1,000 snaps on defense in their career, and that's Charvarius Ward. Mike Hughes is close. I know, right? I know. It's crazy how little experience and how little this team has invested the position. Now, having the Bermuda Triangle back in the middle of the field,
sure.
Safeties could certainly help that for sure. But the
Bermuda Mike Triangle. Hughes,
I love it.
That's when the safeties are working and the slot drop cover two's thriving, it's the Bermuda Triangle. Yeah. But outside, you know, there's question marks. Mike Hughes, though, Maddie, what if the Chiefs get the best version of Mike Hughes, how does this transform this defense?
I don't think we know what the best version of Mike Hughes yet.
That's
position. No, he played for the Minnesota Vikings that they've cycled a lot of cornerbacks through there, a lot of high-end draft picks, a lot of guys with talent, but they haven't particularly gotten guys with Mike Hughes' skill set and found success. You know, the McKenzie Alexanders went through there. These guys aren't the prototypical, you know, Mike Zimmer cornerback. He likes big, long, fast guys that play physical at the line of scrimmage, can carry guys deep playing zone coverage, but he doesn't really ask these guys to do a whole lot of breaking down, mirroring receivers. They kind of stick to their zones and playing in a vertical plane. Mike Hughes, that wasn't ever his best game. His best attributes are his, you know, his footwork and his change of direction ability, and then the ball skills when he can see the ball. They were asking him to play in a way that didn't kind of align with what he does best. Now coming over to the Chiefs, I'd say if you put him on the outside, you're going to run into some of the same issues. It's not geared towards what he does best, but you put him in the slot, you allow him to, you know, not have to worry about carrying routes vertically, just worry about mirroring slot receivers off the line of scrimmage, keeping his eyes on the cornerback, trying to break down on anything coming underneath. I think that's where he can thrive. So the best version of Mike Hughes is a quality cornerback. You're getting a guy that can come close to replicating Kendall Fuller's similar role when he was just playing slot corner, not when he was playing safety, but when he was playing in the nickel. That's the type of player that I think you're getting. Not in the best size, not necessarily the fastest, not necessarily the best athlete, but he's just got a good feel for coverage when he's playing in this limited role. So I think that's what you're hoping you get out of Mike Hughes if you can develop him throughout the year.
Do you remember what we said about Kendall Fuller playing in the slot for the Chiefs? Struggles to carry vertically. And guess what? Steve Spagnuolo did a good job of covering that up, particularly early on before Kendall Fuller got hurt there. And I mean, we could do all this quarterback talk, you know, just in time for Brett Veach to trade for Xavien Howard. But we can talk about that, you know, when, if that happens.
Let's let that one simmer. Maybe that's a Friday conversation. We can let this unfold a little bit more. But Craig, I want to know something you're excited to observe with training camp, a storyline, just something you're excited about. What are you looking for?
I'm really looking at the third string quarterback. I think that that's a real, no, not at all. Nobody cares. Like that's,
wow.
I actually kind of care. No, let's go around the horn. Who's winning the third string quarterback spot, Craig?
Shane Bichelle.
Okay. There is none because they're only carrying two.
Yeah, they typically have carried two lately. So
there's your answer. All right,
that's why I said third string quarterback. No, wide receiver two. That's arguably the most important battle that we need to see out there. Mecole Hardman talked about in his presser today that he had made strides, that he really worked hard on route running and being dialed in with what Patrick Mahomes and the offense really want out of him. And that's very important. We've talked about that plenty, and we don't need to really belabor that point. We want Mecole Hardman to come out and be that best version of himself. And you want to see that. And I think he's going to get the first crack at doing that because they've invested a lot of time. They've invested a lot of effort. And his athletic profile is such that he is a guy that you would like to see claim that wide receiver two role. Now, obviously, it's not going to be as the X receiver, this Sammy Watkins guy or anything like that, but you do want to be able to see him as a productive guy that can work out of the slot, maybe work off the line of scrimmage a little bit. He's competing with DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle, lots of guys that have been in the system, knows Andy Reid's system really well. Mecole Hardman is that guy that's running with the ones consistently, snap after snap, deep into practice. Then I think you'll start to see that maybe Andy Reid is liking what they're seeing out of him and liking what they're seeing out of his route tree.
Well, and it can be a give and take too with that, with Andy. You know, we talk about how, you know, Mecole Hardman is not a traditional X type receiver, but maybe Andy adjusts some things, like we've kind of talked about at times this offseason, to help accommodate the skill sets of a Mecole Hardman. And some of that stuff just comes very organically within this offense, because the Chiefs love to isolate Travis Kelce on the backside of formations with those X or Y ISO looks. It can very organically lead to Mecole Hardman being lined up, protected in a bunch off the line of scrimmage and things like that. So it's going to be interesting what they give and take, because Andy will try to, you know, if he sees, you know, Mecole being able to take that next step and increase his role a little bit, he'll find ways to accommodate the skill sets of a Mecole Hardman. He plays to his player's strengths so well. He always has. And if Mecole takes that step and has taken that step this offseason, they'll be creative with how they're able to utilize him, utilize this offense, get him the ball. And it won't be just stuff behind the line of scrimmage, hopefully, this year, Maddie.
Well, to play devil's advocate, I'm just going to base this on what Mike Kafka said on a podcast earlier this offseason. The Chiefs don't try to make everybody do everything. Their whole goal is they're trying to find guys that are good in specific roles. So with that in mind, I don't think whoever wins wide receiver two or three matters, because they're both going to play about the same amount of snaps throughout the year. Yeah. Like, there's going to be plenty of situations where you simply can't put Mecole Hardman on the field, because like we said, he's not an X wide receiver. His blocking, generally speaking, isn't that good, especially compared to somebody like DeMarcus Robinson or Byron Pringle. Like, there's just too many scenarios where Mecole Hardman can't be your wide receiver too, based on his game. And that's not necessarily a knock. That's just his game isn't suited to doing some of the stuff. You're not going to throw him red zone passes. You're not going to put him out there when you're trying to run out the clock, stuff like that. You might put DeMarcus Robinson out there. There's going to be other times where it makes no sense to put Robinson out there and Mecole Hardman makes sense. So to me, wide receiver two and three, it just kind of, it doesn't matter. They're going to both be out there. They're both going to play about the same amount of snaps. I'm interested to see who's next. And I think I wrote about this earlier this week. Whoever wins that wide receiver four spot, they're going to see a fair amount of snaps. I mean, that's been Mecole Hardman these last couple seasons. He's been the guy as the fourth wide receiver, and we've seen how effective he's been in spots. It hasn't been consistent week in and week out, but you see that fourth wide receiver for the Chiefs have these big games, have these stretches where they actually matter. So is that going to continue to be Byron Pringle, who's had success there in the past, or somebody like Antonio Callaway going to push him? Is Marcus Kemp, Cornell Powell, like, who's going to be that guy that gets to come in and have that occasional game where he gets to, you know, go off because so much attention is on Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman, if he's starting to pick it up this season? That's where my eyes go to with the wide receiver room for, just like I said, that wide receiver 2-3. It's just a toss up in the air as the season goes on.
Sure. It's a definition by, you know, wide receiver two and, you know, targets, yards, things like that. It's just a loose definition there, but I agree with Matt. I think Cornell Powell, this is a big camp for him. They're going to pull a lot on his plate, and I think you're going to see that early. I mean, I want to see how he grows during camp, because we've seen time and time again, rookie wide receivers come in and it takes a little bit of a time to adjust to what Andy Reid wants. It's a complex playbook. Even if it's not, you know, you got to learn everything, it's still complex. You know, there's still a lot on your plate as a wide receiver in this team. We like Cornell Powell a lot. I just want to see that growth from week one, this, you know, practice one, all the way through here, to see how he's fitting in, see that camaraderie, see that relationship with Patrick Mahomes. We're not asking him to step in and be the X receiver day one. That's not what we're asking at all. But learn, grow, develop, and get those reps in, because, you know, the way that this wide receiver room's worked, you know, there's going to be injuries. There's going to be guys that are maybe going through a little bit of a slumps. You got to be a guy that can step in and step up. I think that's really where Cornell Powell can be an impact this year.
Well, it's crazy. If you look at this year's draft class, the offensive players, every single one of them is kind of in a position where the Chiefs might need them. They might need them year one. all of these guys have a potential for an opportunity to make, you know, make some plays this year or be on the starting offensive line for this football team. I mean, you look, Creed Humphrey,
two of them
penciled in right now to be center. Trey Smith very well could be the right guard. I'm excited to see.
Sharpieing Creed Humphrey. Let's put him in Sharpie.
And we didn't really answer this earlier because, you know, we got going on some other stuff. Who do we expect to get, you know, the first crack at right guard come training camp? You know, this first day, first team period, who steps in at right guard? Is it LDT? Is it Andrew Wiley or is it Trey Smith?
Andrew Wiley could be the sneaky one just because of the veteran experience. That could be a sneaky good. I don't think it's going to be LDT. I think it's one of Andrew Wiley or Trey Smith. LDT was running with the threes, it looked like, on some of the photos and some of that kind of stuff in minicamp this last, you know, couple, you know, the last time we saw pictures of this group. So I don't think it's going to be LDT. I think it's one of Andrew Wiley and Trey Smith. And I could see it being Andrew Wiley out of, you know, the veteran. This just seems that screams Andy Reid is giving the veteran the nod, even though I'm more interested in seeing if it's Trey Smith.
I think there's going to be a rotation. I think there's going to be a fairly healthy rotation. Obviously, they don't want to just hand it immediately over to Trey Smith, even though Andy Heck loves Trey Smith. And it sounds like Andy Reid does as well. I think that he's going to get some rotation in with the ones. I'm not going to be surprised if Andrew Wiley or even LDT is getting some rotations in there with the ones. Those guys know the system. They know what they're expected to do out there. But honestly, give it to Trey. I think by the end of camp, I think it's Trey Smith.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier is, I think if you get there on day one or even this first week and Trey Smith's getting a healthy dose or the majority of the reps at right guard, lock it in. It's over. Mm-hmm. If he's the first one they put out there or if he's getting the majority of reps, it's done. If he's not, that's fine. They might just be making him work out for it. Like, there's nothing to worry about if Trey Smith is only getting, you know, 20% of the first team reps as camp first starts. Don't worry about it. That means he's still very clearly in the running. But if he gets the most, it's over. I actually do think LDT has a pretty good shot here for what Kent was saying with the veteran aspect. I don't think the team wants Andrew Wiley to start. I really don't. And I get that LDT was running with the threes when he got back, but he also hadn't played football for 3 years. Like, the guy probably wasn't in good enough shape to play with the ones. He probably needed less reps to play with guys that weren't going to be out there. If you're not going to give it to Trey Smith, I think it's going to be LDT. I think it's one of those two guys that get the majority of the reps to start practice. And I'm hoping it's Trey Smith as well.
I think LDT being out of shape back then isn't an indicator that he just gets to jump into training camp right away either, though, to be fair. It's interesting, though, if Trey Smith is getting the opportunities that we're talking about right here, our attention to Kyle Long, I think, turns to, does he overtake Mike Remmers at right tackle? I think that's what the conversation turns into whenever he returns, if Trey Smith is really jumping in right away and taking hold of that opportunity. I think that's what it could wind up being with Kyle Long.
Was Mike Remmers even holding on to that position by then?
I think so. I do. I don't have a ton of confidence in Lucas Niang right now. I hope I'm wrong.
I don't know.
We've made it 30 minutes now, and we haven't gotten to Lucas Niang yet, who, I mean, I think you could easily put up there as just as important or just as intriguing as a person as Trey Smith is, because here's another guy. I mean, you're looking at a third-round draft pick that a lot of people said should go higher that plays offensive tackle. Like, that should be a talking point. But for some reason, Chiefs fans' hype for Lucas Niang really peaked. He opted out, it kind of died off, and then it peaked really hard again right before the draft started, and everybody was a fan. And I don't know if it was the video of him coming out doing some of his left tackle drills or what, but it seems like some of the hype for Lucas Niang has kind of petered off. I don't know if it's because, you know, there's just get this overwhelming feeling that Mike Remmers is back, was called a starting right tackle by his agent when he signed his contract. Mm-hmm. Whatever it may be, Mike Remmers or Lucas Niang hype has just died down in the Chiefs kingdom. So, like, when we get to camp, are we going to see him kind of push back against that and really start to shine? Or is he going to look like a guy that needs a year? Is he going to look like a developmental offensive tackle? I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to watch.
And a guy that was coming off of an injury. I mean, that's the other part. Like, he had struggles with his hips and had to have surgery and then opted out. So, I mean, it's been a long time since he's played football, just as long as Laurent Duvernay-Tardif has played. So it's been a little bit of a journey for Lucas Niang. And I think because of the hype of Trey Smith, because of the hype of Creed Humphrey, Joe Tooney, Orlando Brent, like, I mean, there's so much to be excited about on this offensive line that I think all of a sudden we start to forget a little bit about Lucas Niang. And part of that's probably because the Chiefs are easing him in towards right tackle. It seems like he's been running with the twos, maybe a little bit of left tackle reps as well. Looks like he might be looking at that swing tackle role a little bit, but that's not to say that he can't come in and be that guy and play that position and look really good doing it. I did like that we got to see the offensive lineman walking down the hill. I thought that Lucas Niang looked a little bit better than we saw him look in OTAs. I think that that is a positive indicator that he's ready to show up, really, really ready to work. It's just going to be, how does he look? How does he move? Is he going to be able to be a bully when the pads come on as well? We're going to see plenty of it. We're going to get three preseason games, and I bet you Lucas Niang is going to get some time out there playing some of these games. But it will be curious to see what he looks like in day one of the first camp reps that he's ever had.
I have a take here, boys. I don't think the Chiefs will play three rookies along their offensive line centered to right tackle. And I think that's part of why maybe some of the hype around Lucas Niang is dying down a little bit, because there's been so much momentum for Creed Humphrey and for Trey Smith that it's like, there's no way this team's playing three rookies on one side of the offensive line. We're talking about this group being a strength, but right now it's a strength on paper. You know, similarly, there's a lot of interesting guys on paper on, center to right tackle, kind of the same way on paper the cornerback group can be a little bit interesting. I think there's more options that are going to be more stable along the offensive line than the cornerback position for sure. But I think there's a lot of questions. And is this team going to play three rookies on one side of the offensive line? I think those are the questions that, you know, that doesn't seem very likely. So you got to kind of nudge one of them out, right? Like, I think that's part of how I look at it when I'm looking at the Lucas Niang situation a little bit. And I think he's in the LDT boat where he's been so far removed from football. It's going to take him a little bit more time to get back into the swing of things. I think he's behind the eight ball. And I think Mike Remmers is your starting right tackle for at least the first 8 weeks of the season.
And he also hasn't played at the NFL level. Like, that's the other part. Yeah. Like, yeah. LDT has. Lucas Niang's got to adjust on a couple different levels.
Well, and following that same logic, too, if you were looking at the replacement for all these positions to kind of see who was there, if you're looking at center, you would have, you know, Andrew Blythe, who hasn't played for the Chiefs. So that's a new system for him anyway. So Austin.
Good job, Craig.
I Craig'd it. So that would be another new system for your center. So, does that really, it's better than a rookie in some ways, but he's still learning a new system. If you put in Lucas Niang, he's learning a new system. The only way, like, you can cycle in the most recently experienced guy would be Mike Remmers or Andrew Wiley playing at right guard or right tackle. Who do you feel better about playing? I think the general consensus is fans now have seen a little bit more hype or a little bit more excited to see the combination of Trey Smith and Remmers versus Lucas Niang and Andrew Wiley. It just seems like that's the higher upside group. That's probably the, lower or higher floor group as well. So, like, I get why people would lean that direction.
I mean, and I get that as well. And Maddie, you've said multiple times, regardless of how you really line it up, like, right tackle's probably the weaker link of the offense.
Kyle Long, baby, just like I said in the summer.
You did say Kyle Long, but I mean, that's probably the weaker link along the offensive line there. But, you say Mike Remmers knows the system. What if the system is changing? Like, I mean, if it's changing?
Do you trust Andrew Wiley or Mike Remmers to pick up a new system in one offseason?
Oh, man. I probably trust Mike Remmers because Mike
Remmers has done multiple. Andrew Wiley's been in the same system. I mean, he was with the Colts briefly, right? And then he's been in the same system since. Mike Remmers has been multiple different teams, multiple different systems. Yep. All intents and purposes, he played multiple. Like, I think he's a guy that could pick it up faster if that's the case.
Probably. But we'll see.
And maybe, Kyle Long kicks out to right tackle. If Trey Smith takes over that guard position, and if you started this show and then fast forward all the way to the end, it sounds like we talked about guards for 37 minutes of show. And I think that's a perfect way to end this show.
One more thing I'm excited to see, though.
Then fine. That would have been a perfect way to end it. It would have sounded like 37 minutes of guard talk for some people, but fine, Natty. Ruin the transition.
Some of, our, some of us are fans of the tight end position. Some of us want to see Noah Gray go out there and run routes. I want to see Noah Gray go out there. I want to see him in the NFL get a fuller, a more full route tree and run it against these linebackers, against these safeties. I just want to see what he looks like. Are my expectations too high? Can Noah Gray not go out there and be NFL linebackers or NFL safeties on these routes, or can he do it? I think the Chiefs present a good kind of gradient of guys to offer coverage against them. I am, if you made me put out a list of things I'm most excited to see, Noah Gray's one-on-one reps with the linebackers and defensive backs is easily in my top five of things I'm most excited to see. And I'm more excited about that than Cornell Powell, any wide receiver cornerback matchup. I just want to see what he can do versus NFL talent as a route runner, because that determines if he's going to be useful for the Chiefs this year or not.
Especially since Nick Kizer on the NFI, so he will probably not be participating in the early going of this camp. So that means that you're going to have Travis Kelce, Noah Gray, and Blake Bell, the three guys that we kind of predicted were going to make this team. We're going to see that rotation pretty heavily. So I bet Noah Gray gets a lot more reps than he maybe would have if Nick Kizer was healthy and available.
I also want to see him be more athletic than Jody Fortson on the football field.
Well, guys, I think there's one thing we know about the Noah Gray situation, and that he is not going to be in the mix at right guard. That is going to do it for the KC Laboratory. Thank you so much for listening. Maddie and I will be out at training camp on Friday and Saturday. Look for the KCSN t-shirt so we can say thank you for listening, reading, watching, whatever you're doing. We are so grateful for you. We're so grateful for our partners in Prize Bank for making KCSN what it is today. That is it for the show. We'll catch you later.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.